From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the next portion of a message called The Faithfulness of God. The text is chapter 9, verses 6 through 13. Although the Jews of Paul's day believed that their relationship to Abraham guaranteed their entrance into heaven, Paul insists that God's promise was to the children of promise. God was faithful to the promise he made to Abraham that in his seed, that is, Christ, all nations of the earth would be blessed. As Dr. Cairns shows, no one gets into heaven because of any physical relationship or through any religious ritual. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God's purpose in election is that his mercy upon sinners will glorify his holy name. His word cannot fail, for God cannot lie. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Numbers chapter 2, verse 31. "They shall go hindmost with their standards." The camp of Dan brought up the rear when the armies of Israel were on the march. The Danites occupied the hindmost place. But what mattered the position, since they were as truly part of the host as were the foremost tribes? They followed the same fiery, cloudy pillar. They ate of the same manna, drank of the same spiritual rock, and journeyed to the same inheritance. Come, my heart, cheer up, though last and least. It is thy privilege to be in the army, and to fare as they fare who lead the van. Someone must be hindmost in honor and esteem. Someone must do menial work for Jesus, and why should not I? In a poor village among an ignorant peasantry, or in a back street among degraded sinners, I will work on, and go hindmost with my standard. The Danites occupied a very useful place. Stragglers have to be picked up on the march, and lost property has to be gathered from the field. Fiery spirits may dash forward over untrodden paths to learn fresh truth and win more souls to Jesus. But some of a more conservative spirit may be well engaged in reminding the church of her ancient faith and restoring her fainting sons. Every position has its duties, and the slowly moving children of God will find their peculiar state, one in which they may be eminently a blessing to the whole host. The rear guard is a place of danger. There are foes behind us as well as before us. Attacks may come from any quarter. We read that Amalek fell upon Israel and slew some of the hindmost of them. The experienced Christian will find much work for his weapons in aiding those poor, doubting, desponding, wavering souls who are hindmost in faith, knowledge, and joy. These must not be left unaided, and therefore be it the business of well-taught saints to bear their standards among the hindmost. My soul, do thou tenderly watch to help the hindmost this day.
Thank you.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Paul made it clear that no ritualism of any kind can make a man right with God. The Jews had wonderful ritual. Actually, it was even Bible-based ritual. And Paul looked at it all. At this time, the temple was still standing. The blood of the sacrifices was still flowing. The high priest was doing his work. There was the constant offering up of incense. The Jews were ritualistic still. And Paul was telling them that there's no ritual that can ever rightly relate you to God. And there's no religious affiliation that can do so either. Now the Jews found that difficult to stomach, but so did Gentiles today. The Jews found it utterly obnoxious. They could believe that perhaps the heathen might perish. In fact, they believed the heathen would perish. But all Jews would be saved. Their writings give examples of their opinions. I'll give you a couple. All Israelites have a share in the world to come. All Israelites. Then again, no Israelite who's circumcised will go down to Gehenna. What our New Testament calls Gehenna, or hell. No Israelite who is circumcised will go down to hell. It's impossible. That was the opinion. But Paul registers a resounding no. And listen to what he says at the end of verse 6. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Verse 7. Neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. What Paul is saying is that the fact that some Jews perish, therefore, does not in any way invalidate the promise of God or overthrow His purpose. The promise was never given to children of the flesh. The promise was given to the children of God, the children of promise. Now he argues, history proves that. From verse 7, verse 8, through to verse 11. In fact, really through to the end of our reading. He's saying, look at it, history proves this. God chose Isaac and rejected Ishmael. Now they were both, they were equally the seed of Abraham. Ishmael was as much Abraham's son as Isaac was. In fact, he was his firstborn son. But God did not choose Ishmael. He did choose Isaac. And then he says, come down a generation. Isaac marries Rebekah. Rebekah is giving birth to twins. Now we have two boys and they have the same father and the same mother. But God chose Jacob and God rejected Esau. Now, Paul is saying, history proves this fact of my basic contention that simply being a child of Abraham after the flesh doesn't make you a child of promise. There is the sovereign choice of God involved here. And you see, to Paul, there was no way around this. And he never tried to get a way around it. You'll see clearly here, Paul does not try to dress this up. He does not try to make it palatable to man. He does not try to explain it to man. He doesn't get into the philosophy of it. He simply states the gospel fact of it. God chose Isaac, and God chose Jacob. And he did not choose Ishmael, and he did not choose Esau. There's some people who come to this passage and they say, well, it's not speaking of individuals really at all. It's speaking of the appointment of nations to various places in the government of God in the world. Well, if that's true, it's only part of the truth. You can't get away from the fact that Ishmael was an individual. Isaac was an individual. Esau was an individual. Jacob was an individual. And you can see very clearly that Paul is specifically dealing with individuals. He said they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. In other words, he's saying you look at the nation and you're wanting to talk about the nation, but I'm talking about individuals within the nation who are the true Israel. He is dealing with individuals. He's not just dealing with government. This is a passage that is dealing with people being the children of God. That means he's dealing with eternal salvation. There can be no doubt here. Paul is teaching sovereign election. Now, I understand that that would ban him from almost every fundamental pulpit in America. Do you realize that? And I'm not saying that facetiously, nor am I saying it with any sort of bitter spirit of criticism, but I am saying that's where we have got to, and we imagine we know better than God Almighty. If Paul were to preach in most churches in America what he's just said here in Romans chapter 9, he would either not get finishing the sermon, or he would certainly never be invited back. Now you decide who's right and who's wrong here. And I think you don't need to be a theologian to know who's right and who's wrong. He is certainly preaching sovereign election, but I want you to notice the difference between his approach and the approach of his critics. The critics then and now, they would say, oh, poor Ishmael, poor Esau. They never had a chance. How terrible of God to choose only some and not all. Now look at Paul's approach and you'll see how very different it was. Verse 11, he says that the children not being yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, etc. I want you to watch Paul carefully here, because this is his approach. What he's teaching is that God, in sovereignty, elects a people in order to ensure that his purpose of mercy will stand. That's where Paul's coming from. Never, never, never forget that election is an exercise of mercy. It ensures that God's word and God's promise will never become ineffective. Now that's how Paul argued against Jewish objections. As I said, this is directed to the Jews, but it has a vital message for us. And tonight I want to draw three important conclusions from what Paul has here been saying. Number one, God's word is inviolable. That's what his argument is all about. This attack that he's meeting was an attack upon the faithfulness of God. And Paul is defending God against the charge of unfaithfulness. And he's arguing that God keeps his word to all to whom he gives it. That's Paul's argument. When God makes a promise to people, he keeps that promise. Now, men and women, we must be absolutely convinced of that. If we're not convinced of that, we can never have peace. We can never have assurance. I remember when, as a young man, I was struggling with this whole matter of the assurance of salvation. I couldn't get anywhere. I could get no peace of mind. I could get no stability of conscience. I could get nothing right in my life. At times, I thought it was going to drive me mad. Until I got my feet on the solid rock of God's promise and God's word, and it came through to me. I have got my feet now on something that can never change. Not all the dynamite of hell can ever blast even a pinhole in the solid rock of God's word. God's word is inviolably faithful. And when you have God's word for something, you can stake your whole eternity on it. That's what Paul is saying here. In another place he says, he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. You remember what Solomon said, there hath not failed one word of all the good promise of God. And again, Solomon says, he has spoken with his mouth and he's fulfilled it with his hand. God's word and God's action always go together. There is never a failure of performance in the promise of God. This is Paul's great point here. God's promise, his word, is inviolable. And what peace and joy and assurance that brings to the Christian's heart. Turn to that famous passage in Hebrews chapter 6. And you'll find that there he says, God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. What are those two immutable things? His promise and his oath. He gave his word and then he sealed it with his oath. And in these two things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, listen, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. The Christian, in the storms of life, buffeted by the billows of adversity, assaulted by the attacks of hell, the Christian has an anchor cable to an anchor inside the veil. Do you see that picture? Our anchor is inside the veil. And what is it? God cannot lie. God cannot lie. God's word cannot fail. His promise, his word, is inviolable. The second conclusion is that God's purpose is immutable. Well, you notice clearly that Paul speaks of the purpose according to election, and he says it stands. I like that. When God purposes, his purpose stands. That's the difference between God and the creature. A creature purposes, and his purpose comes to pass only if the purpose of God so allows. The devil purposes many things. The devil's a mighty spirit. Never make the mistake of so many of the charismatics of speaking disparagingly and slightingly and even in a funny way, humorously, of the devil. Remember what we're told when Michael the archangel disputed with him about the body of Moses. He wouldn't bring a railing accusation, even against Satan. So, the devil is a mighty spirit. But you know, the devil has many a purpose that can never come to pass. He has tried a million things today and failed. For example, you look in the life of every Christian, the devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to damn you. But he'll never do it. He'll never succeed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.